Hello everyone, this is Marta Taylor and you're listening to Picture Book Ingredients. I'm really excited about today's topic. Is your book ready to be published? And 5 tips from an editor from Purple Crayon.
More people than ever are writing and illustrating picture books and creating a community on social media. Some are working through publishers and others self-publishing. And on this show, I like to sit down with other creatives and storytellers to discuss the ideas, the opportunities, and learn from them and take the advice so the rest of us can do the same and get out there into the picture book world.
Hi, Kara. Thanks for joining us today. For the people who don't know you, can you tell us a bit about yourself and what you do for Purple Crayon?
Thanks so much for having me, Marta. Well, with Purple Crayon, I like to consider myself a one-stop shop for authors and for illustrators too. So I provide feedback and critiques on early drafts. I edit books and I can format them, help you come up with a catchy title, and I can write you a blurb. I put together promotional materials for bookshops and libraries and for targeting online shoppers. And I can help with your author website, your social media presence, write copy for social media posts around your work with a book tour, and I've just started hosting live events and interviews on my children's book review Instagram
nice.
Page. Yeah, so wherever you are in your publishing journey, I hope to be able to help you at no matter what step you're at.
Yeah, you really gather all aspects of the children's book industry.
I just really passionate about children's books. Yeah, it's a lovely online community. It's so lovely.
That's true.
The online children's book world. Yeah, they're so friendly.
It's so easy to connect to people. I'd found it as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, it's wonderful. Yeah.
So I'm sure you receive a lot of manuscripts from very different authors, very different scripts of picture books, and I expect some excite you a lot more than others, maybe. So what do you consider a picture book must have to be well written and stand out among the rest?
Yeah, it sounds like stating the obvious here, but I think it really has to have a story. And a lot of the time you see books that actually there isn't really a story at all. You know, there needs to be a problem and that has to be resolved by the end. Often picture books are more concerned with a theme or a lesson that the author wants to impart, and they tend to have a weak or even a non-existent plot. And then the problem that's resolved by the end of the story, it has to be done by the main character. If somebody else fixes it for them, or if it happens by accident, then it's not as satisfying.
So like the character, you say the end has to be finished by the character. How important is the main character? How much do you recommend us developing the main character?
I think it's really important to have an engaging character in picture books. They're very character driven, even when they're about emotions or something a little more abstract, like A Shelter for Sadness by Annie Booth and David Litchfield. That turns sadness into a character, and I think that helps children relate. And yeah, it's important to have a main character that children can relate to, but even more important is having familiar themes and emotions, so they don't have to be presented in a familiar way. You could have a story about an alien that's living on a completely different planet, but if that alien isn't experiencing feelings and scenarios that young readers can recognize, then the story isn't going to resonate with them. And if you look at Judith Kerr on her Mog books, they're over 50 years old now, and the main character is a cat. But Mog's experiences are a lot like that of a very young child. Confusion about how to behave, getting in trouble but not being sure why, not always understanding adult humans and feeling embarrassed about getting things
wrong. Do you think it's difficult for us as adults to like get into the mindset of a child for the book?
It should be difficult because we were all children once. I think you have to kind of tap into your inner child and remember what it was like. I think if you don't, you're not going to be able to write a good picture book. I think that's what the best picture book authors do. They can tap into those universal.
They take out the inner child.
Yeah, absolutely. They remember what it was like and they recreate that. And I think that's really, like, that's a skill. That's a great skill to have, yeah.
Lots of people who write picture books, they, like in my case, I like to write a picture book and write all my ideas down. And I do go over it and edit it and then cut it and then change the ideas. But I don't know exactly when my picture book is ready. What do I do next?
Yeah, I would say if you think it's ready, it probably isn't. So the best thing to do is put it away for a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. Don't think about it for a couple of weeks. Put it away and then take it out after a few weeks or even a month or two, and you'll come back to it with fresh eyes, and you'll be better able to spot, you know, anything that's missing or anything that's not quite right. If you take it out after putting it away and edit it or revise it if it needs it, and then share it with somebody who can give you objective feedback. And so maybe with a professional or maybe with fellow writers mm-hmm. as part of the critique group. Like, there are lots of critique groups you can join through organizations like the Society for Children's Book Writers mm-hmm. and Illustrators. Yeah. And then
definitely
places like Write Mentor. Yeah, they mm-hmm. I think Write Mentor has monthly critique groups that meet online.
Yeah.
Yeah, getting a second opinion, but definitely put it away for a while and then come back to it with fresh.
How long do you recommend us to put it away for?
A couple of weeks. You need to kind of detach from it for a little while and sort of come back. Mm-hmm. I don't know, it's just, you see it anew, it gives you a fresh perspective.
You get like a new bubble, like when you're writing it the first
yeah.
time, sometimes I feel like I'm in this bubble. And that it's all great,
yeah.
and it's all great. And then after
yeah.
You say a couple of weeks, why did I write that? I mean, it makes no sense at all. Or it's nothing to do with anything, really.
Oh, I'm sure it's not that bad. But it's hard when you're really emotionally attached to something.
Yeah.
I think it's harder to look at it objectively, yeah.
And like we said before, the community for writing picture books and children's books is honestly really great
yeah.
and really supportive
I
on
know.
Many levels.
So supportive. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, and you'll be able to find people to critique your work, no problem, even just through Instagram and places like that.
After leaving the book separate for at least 2 weeks to a month and getting critiques from your friends or something, what do you think is the next step you should take?
I think you need to look at your word counts. I think it's important to be aware of word counts.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would recommend keeping it to about 500 words. I think with mm-hmm. picture books, you should be trying to tell your story using the least amount of words possible. So once you're fairly happy with everything, I think a good thing to do is go and see what sentences, what words can you cut back? Because the magic of picture books is that they do a lot with very little text, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I often see self-published picture books that are just far too long. They're trying to tell too much and not leave enough up to the illustrator or the
mm-hmm.
imaginations of the readers. Because the gaps in the narrative that readers can fill themselves, they're often the most interesting and exciting aspects of a story. The Pumphrey brothers do this really well with the old truck and the old boat. They leave a lot open to interpretation. And then you have to remember as well that it's parents who buy picture books and not children. And picture books are generally read in the evening by very tired parents.
Yeah.
So if a book looks overly text heavy, it's not going to appeal to the grown-up buyers.
Mm-hmm,
and
that's true.
I've been sent some really long picture books to review, and even if
yeah.
my kids really like the story, I'm not going to reach for it too often if it's going to take me ages.
Yeah, it's too long
too
for
long.
You to read to them. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Mm.
As an illustrator, I do see sometimes I work with long texts as well, and I do find that my illustrations sometimes are very cut short, like I'm not so free
yeah.
to put my input
yeah.
and sometimes I can give a fresh idea or perspective to the book that the author wouldn't have thought of, or just give it tell the story without the words that are missing. But some books
yeah.
that I illustrate, it's got all the information in the text, so the illustration just accompany the text, but they don't give anything to the story.
Yeah, and I think the best picture books, they allow the illustrations to give that little bit extra. Like, I feel like if there's too much text, then your book isn't a picture book, it's just an illustrated book.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a difference, there's a subtle difference,
yeah.
but it's an important difference, yeah.
Do you think it's difficult to find an illustrator to trust to do this process for you?
I don't know. I don't know if it's difficult. It must be difficult to hand it over if you're an author.
Yes.
but there's so many great illustrators out there. I mean, there's so much talent. So I don't think it would be hard finding somebody who's going to make your book amazing. But it must the I can't imagine would feel nervous. I guess you feel nervous handing it over, like it's like giving a child to somebody.
But
I guess you have to. That's why it's so crucial to find the best illustrator. But I know with traditionally published books, the authors often don't know who's illustrating it until they see the first images. So that must be really daunting. But at the same time, you trust that an artist is going to make it amazing, you know?
Yeah.
So one of the things I love most about picture books is the illustrations, and I'll often choose a book based on who the illustrator is. You know, I'll go, oh, that illustrator's doing something new. So yeah, it's so important to have a good illustrator, and they really will bring your book to life.
They'll even
bring out things you wouldn't have known were there. Yeah.
When I do illustrate a book, I don't consider myself just doing the illustrations for the book. I really do consider myself like a partner with the writer.
Yeah,
I do think we both have the most important roles in making the picture book.
Yeah.
And I do find the illustrations are as important in a way as the text. So
idea
is of the author, of course, but it's like, I like to think of this as a partnership. So we are both working to make the best project possible, really. Yeah,
I think the illustrator is just as important as the author, and in certain ways even more important, because how marketable a book is depends on, you know, the cover design. Like you're not going to know at a glance if this is a good story, but you're going to know at a glance if the illustrations appeal to you. So it's really the best tool. Yeah, the illustrations are the best tool to get the book into somebody's
hands. Do you recommend to self-publishers to go for a good illustrator? Because sometimes they're like, oh, it's just they're too expensive. Do you think it's worth it?
Yeah, it's the most important thing you can do for your book. You're not giving your work, you're not doing it justice if you don't seek out the best illustrator. And you see that all the time. People have chosen, it looks like they've chosen the cheap option, they've chosen kind of computer generated flat, like so many. And I'm not being critical now, but you see so many picture books and they all look like they've been illustrated by the same
person. One yes
yeah, yeah, it's just, and it really it really doesn't give your story a chance at all. Like I will not buy a book if the illustrations don't appeal to me, you know. And even sometimes, you know, I might be sent a book and I might really like the story, but if I don't like the illustrations, I'm not going to reach for it, you know?
It's
a picture book is about the pictures just as much as the text. I mean, it's even in the name.
It's picture book. So, yeah, definitely. That's true.
Yeah, so yeah, definitely invest in the best illustrator you can find. Otherwise, you're wasting your time.
Going back to topic, because I think we went a little bit out of theme now. How many times do you think an author should review the text themselves before sending it to someone else, like a group critique, like you mentioned before, or an editor like you?
Yeah. Well, you have to review it a few times, but it's hard to pick an exact number, as that will depend on the manuscript itself and the level that it's at. But you do need it to be the best that it can be. But then at some point you have to let it go too. You know, there's probably always something that you'll want to improve. And if you're a perfectionist, then you'll just want to keep on polishing it. But you do have to finally let it make its way out into the world. But if it does still seem unfinished, or if it does need more work, then hopefully the person that you're showing it to will be able to communicate that to you and even give you some advice or pointers on how to improve it.
Can you give us like any advice on how to review our own work? Because like we mentioned before, it's like we're in our own bubble and sometimes we can't see correctly how to make things better in our own work. Any advice you could give us to make it better for us and easier our process to do that, really?
I know. Yeah. Well, I guess this sounds simple, but it can make a big difference is reading it out loud. And as we mentioned earlier, putting it away and coming back to it, but reading it out loud really helps, especially with rhyming.
That does make a tune to it.
Yeah. And if you're using words to write it, there's a function in Words under the review tab that lets your text be read back to you by your laptop. So I find that really helpful because it's kind of robotic voice. Yeah. And if something is jarring, it'll be much more obvious when it's read in this kind of robotic.
I hadn't thought about that, but that's a really good tip,
And then if you are writing a rhyming text, you need to tap out the beats of each line as you read it too. I find that's helpful. But if you follow actually Catherine Emmett and David Crosby on Twitter, they write rhyming picture books. They've shared lots of really interesting posts and threads about getting rhyming right, because that can be difficult.
In my case, I'm actually working right now with Wacky Bee Books, and I'm going to get my first published this year. So I'm excited for that.
Yeah. I can't wait to see it. You'll have to let me know. I'd love to get it.
I definitely.
Get hold of it.
But before I sent it to Wacky Bee Books and like felt extremely comfortable to sending it off, I did actually contact an editor just like you, because I did want to get another point of view from it, and maybe you have much more experience than I do in the end. I thought maybe just to get another perspective from it. And it really helped me, actually.
Yeah.
Do you recommend other people doing this?
Yeah, I do recommend it. Like, you can show it to your friends and your family, but they're not going to be as objective
exactly.
as a professional might be. Yeah, I think it's helpful as get somebody who's going to be objective, because their only motivation is helping your book to be the best it can be. And if it's somebody you know, and even somebody in a critique group that's a peer, they might be worried about hurting your feelings and not be as honest as a professional might be.
That's true.
You really need somebody to be honest. Also, a professional, they'll not only identify weak spots, but they'll come up with ideas for how to fix or how you can improve them. Like, if they are critical, it'll be constructive. Because I know myself, if I show something to my husband, he's just like, yeah, that's brilliant. And, it, he's not going to tell me what's wrong with it.
Yeah.
Or if he doesn't like something, he's more likely to just say, yeah, I don't really like it, but not tell me why.
Yeah, they don't exactly know.
Feeling.
They can't give you professional advice in a way. They just tell you a sense of what they felt, really.
Yeah, they might know that it doesn't work, but they might not understand really why. So yeah, I think it can be helpful to get a professional opinion. It's hard though, like it can be hard too. Like, I know myself, like when I've never tried writing for children, but like I've tried writing really terrible short stories for adults that obviously never got published. And I remember getting like professional critique, and I was so nervous about it. And it was, what they said was absolutely right, but it was at times hard to read it, but I think
because you've spent hours working on it, and it's your project,
exactly.
And like you said, it's like kind of your baby.
you have to be willing to take the risk that you might not like what you hear back, but you have to trust that it's going to
at the same time
improve.
I do think this is how you grow as a writer though.
Exactly.
Like, you do need professional feedback, and then the next book, maybe this one's very much critiqued, but the next one you write, you've already got all this information that you learned from the last one that you can just directly put into the next book.
Yeah, I mean, that's how you learn. That's how you have to keep learning, and everybody started somewhere. No writers started writing things overnight that were instantly...
That would be great. So you reviewed and edited several picture books, like we mentioned. Can you tell us, like, spot out the main mistakes you keep seeing on people's writing? What things do we keep on doing that we should definitely not?
The mistakes, I guess, would be, one is that thinking that if something rhymes and has illustrations, then it's automatically a picture book, because they're actually a lot more complicated than that.
Yeah.
And so many people actually underestimate how hard it is to write a good picture book. So I think that's a huge mistake, because they're, in my opinion, they're the hardest of all the art forms to master. And I think there's a misconception that because of the age group they're intended for, then it's simple and easy to write one, when in fact it's the opposite.
I actually find rhymes totally difficult. I don't think I'd get into rhymes, honestly, because of how hard they seem.
Yeah, I know. And a lot of the time people, when they're writing, they write in rhyme and kind of force it, when maybe it actually shouldn't be rhyming at all. You know, it might flow better if you just told it in a different way, because rhyming is another, like, I think you kind of I think you can probably improve upon your rhyming, but you have to be, I do think you have to be born with some kind of natural rhythm or something. Yeah. I don't know. You see a lot of rhyming picture book writers, they're songwriters too, and I think that really helps. But anyway, sorry, I'm getting off topic.
Do you think again, just a question about this rhyming, do you think people just, like you say, they just write rhymes but forget to tell the story with the rhymes? They just write a whole bunch of rhymes and not tell anything.
I've seen it before where people sometimes it's just like a whole lot of words in a row that rhyme, and you're kind of going, but what's actually happening here? It's just like character names that rhyme. I don't know. And what really annoys me with rhyming books, that when it's just words shoved in the wrong order in a sentence, just to make the sentence rhyme, that drives me nuts. When it reads like how you would never, like it sounds like Yoda or somebody is talking.
Yeah, it's difficult to understand as well.
Exactly, they're developing their own language skills too. Like, picture books should be helping them to develop, you know, not confusing them. But what other mistakes? Thinking that it's simple when it's not, because it's really, really complicated. Oh, you only have a few pages and there's not much text to tell a story. Mm-hmm. But you have to make it one that appeals to grown-up readers as well as their children.
That's true.
And you have to make it one, it has to be one that kids will want to read over and over and over again, and then one that parents won't mind reading over and over again. So it's really hard to get that right. It's so hard. So it's, I don't know why people think it's easy, but I think there is a misconception that's the easiest thing you can do is write a picture book. And then another mistake you see very often is people just not knowing the audience, not knowing what children read, what interests them, writing something that interests the author and what something that they think children should be interested in, but not understanding what they actually want to read about, trying too hard to teach a lesson.
Do you think that's a bit to do with them not remembering how they were as a child, or not listening to themselves or the kids?
Yeah, not remembering, like, you have to write something that you think you would have liked to read as a child, but also, like, not understanding that children change too, and not really being familiar with contemporary picture books and, you know, what's selling now, what people are reading now. I've seen where books are trying too hard. They're too focused on a lesson. Like, it could be about bullying or it could be about gender equality, but they're too focused on that and there's no real story. Like, all the best picture books do have a lesson, but it has to be subtle, you know? If you have a story that reads too much like a textbook and it isn't written in an entertaining way, that's a huge mistake. It has to be written in an entertaining way. It has to make people laugh or...
I do sometimes find some books very educational, but there's no fun in it. It's just basically reading, I don't know, about one specific animal, you know, it's an education about that animal or something like that. But I do find that lots of times there's no joy in reading that, really.
I mean, even adults want to be entertained when they read. So, of course, children are going to want to be, you know. What else? Pricing. A lot of the time, I feel self-published picture books are far too expensive. Like, they can be twice or three times as much as one written by an established author. And if you're in a bookshop or you're shopping online and you see, you know, okay, I can buy this book by an author I know, or I can spend twice or three times on an unknown author, you're probably going to go with who you know. And then printing on poor quality paper, pages in a picture book, they're going to be turned many times and they need to be sturdy and they need to be nice to touch. Sometimes you see self-published picture books and the paper is like thin and see-through and the illustrations
don't
look good and easy to break. But again, like, that's tied in with price. I know you have to spend a bit more than to get the good quality paper, so it's hard to find
The child is your client, and the child is the one that's going to be holding the book and dragging it on the floor and throwing it over there and dribbling on it. I mean, if the children is your client, I do think you have to make the product suitable for the client, really.
Absolutely, definitely. Often you see a title that's too long and complicated, like it's trying to describe every single thing that happens in a story. So I think that's a common mistake. Cover designs that are unappealing, blurbs that are too long. And oh yeah, I see this a lot actually. Sorry, I think this is, I'm getting to the end of my list, I think. If the book is available from Amazon as an ebook, you know, you have the option to put a sample online that people can download for free, but like almost every time, I can't even think of any exceptions right now, almost every time I look at the self-published book on Amazon, in the free sample, they'll only have the title page. You know, they'll have the cover and the title page, but that does nothing to sell the book. And it reminds me of when I used to look for apartments. Like, you'd never go and view an apartment when you were looking to
rent.
That's
a very good example.
Photos. Yeah, it looks like you're hiding something. Like, if you're proud of your book, put something.
I think maybe
online.
They're too scared to show too much. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I do agree with you on that point.
Yeah, you have to do that. And, you know, it can be really clever and end the sample on a cliffhanger. Like, that's, you know, a good way to draw people in as well. But I think all the mistakes can be avoided if you just do enough research. So probably the biggest mistake people make is not doing enough research to begin with. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to read hundreds of picture books, hundreds, thousands even, maybe, if you want to write a good one. You really have to know the market. And it changes all the time. Like, since I started working as a bookseller. Like, my first experience with picture books was working as a bookseller 20 years ago, and the market has completely changed.
It's changing rapid now.
Really changing. It's great. It's really vibrant. I think there's more picture books available now than ever before, and it's really recognized as it's appreciated a lot more.
That's true.
But you really have to research and look at what traditionally published books are called and how much they cost, as well as researching the stories.
One of my newest hobbies, I just go to a bookshop and just spend ages looking at picture books, and then I take some home with me. And I don't only study the illustrations, because I'm the illustrator, like I study how they do the illustrations, how they do the turn of the page and all that, but I also study a lot of the text of that picture book that I took home. Brilliant. There's lots of ways to write, and I think you can learn a lot and see how they use their voice, the words.
Yeah, and the page turn, that's really interesting, because they do really clever things with, you know, when you turn the page and the anticipation and what happens straight after. Like, that's an art form in itself too. But yeah, that's a lovely way to spend the day, looking at picture books in bookshops. Definitely going to cheer you up. Yeah.
I'll do that all day if I could.
Yeah, are there lots of beautiful bookshops in Barcelona?
In Barcelona, there's several small. Like, I like to go to local libraries because I like to shop small.
Yeah.
But there are a few that sell English picture books, so I like to go to those mainly.
Oh, I can imagine. Is the Colour Monster art author and illustrator? Is she from Barcelona?
Anna
Llenas, I think. I don't know.
She could be from Barcelona.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like she might be, but I could have that completely wrong. I don't know where I'm getting that.
There are some illustrators from Barcelona. They're really popular now in the picture book world.
I love her Colour Monster books.
This is something that's happening now as well, that since everything is online, you can work from an illustrator from the other end of the world perfectly. It's all so much more connected now as well.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah.
So to finish off, before we leave, do you think we could give us tips to see if we're ready to publish our book?
Yeah. So we've already mentioned putting it away for as long as possible, and then coming back to it, getting feedback and getting it proofread as well, if you can. But get feedback from as many sources as you can, like not just grown-ups. Try and get anonymous feedback from kids. Try and get people to show it to their kids. Kids have no filter. Like, they'll be more honest and make sure the person who's conveying their opinions knows you don't want them censored. And then I guess make sure that you're satisfied that the word count is as low as it can go. Make sure you have a catchy title. The title is nearly as important as the text itself. But you have to make sure you've done lots and lots of research and read hundreds and hundreds of picture books. And if you've read hundreds and hundreds of picture books, then you're definitely ready to publish your own book.
I think that's what we're leaving with today. Do a lot of research.
Read more picture books. I think that everybody should read more picture books, whether they want to write them or not, or whether they have kids or not. I think the world would be a happier place if we all sat down with a picture book once a day.
Oh, they all enjoyable, really.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I actually find sometimes my partner, where I buy a picture book from the shop and I leave it there, and sometimes I find my partner looking at it on the sofa after a few days. He's enjoying them as well, and he has nothing to do with the picture book world.
They're an art form. They're amazing. Picture books, I don't know what, it would be a very dull world without them. I certainly wouldn't enjoy life as much anyway.
Some writers dive in and look for an illustrator before actually finishing the script. Do you recommend this?
Well, getting the right illustrator is crucial, but I don't think it's a good idea to look for an illustrator before you've finished writing the story. But then how early you get an illustrator on board, it kind of depends on how you're hoping to publish it. If you want to try to get published with a traditional publisher, then you shouldn't look for an illustrator at all.
Yes.
The publisher will find one, and you have a much better chance of getting published if you only submit the text. But then, if you're publishing the book yourself, it can be helpful to get an illustrator involved early on, as they might have some great ideas and they might be more experienced. If it's your first book, and the best picture book illustrators, we spoke about this already. The best illustrators, they will add an extra dimension to the story.
Yeah.
But again, and it's probably best to have the manuscript as final as possible before sending it to an artist, because you can always edit the text again after you see their work. And I listened to an interview with Lauren Elise there. She wrote The Girls and the Boys, and she mentioned that when she sees Jenny Lovely's artwork, she often changes the text as has done a lot with the images. And she's like, actually, maybe I don't need that line. But most traditionally published authors don't collaborate with illustrators on their books. We spoke about this as well. They might not even know who was illustrating it until very late into the project. And the artist and author tend to work quite separately. And I think that that's really good too, because it's good to give the illustrator free rein and let them come up with some unexpected and interesting details and interpretation of them, kind of enriches the story. But like we were saying earlier on, the illustrations are as important as the text. And in terms of marketing and generating sales, they're nearly even more so. As we're saying, definitely invest as much time and energy and money as possible in finding the best artist that you can. But I would probably wait until the manuscript is pretty much finalized before hiring an illustrator.
It's happened to me. I was illustrating a picture book, and then they changed the whole page to something completely different, and I had to redo all the illustration again.
Because I'm sure you can't just take a page out, because that would have a domino effect on the rest of the book. Then I didn't even think of it from the illustrator's perspective.
Yeah, it's a lot of work.
So I
just wanted to know from an editor's point of view. And I do agree with you that it is nice to talk to an illustrator and see the input and the ideas they have. And you can develop the book with their fresh ideas as well. So that's a different point of view.
It must be lovely to illustrate picture books.
It really is.
It's like a dream job.
It's a lot of work, but I think it's worth it, really. And it's nice to imagine just a kid looking at your book before going to bed and just getting lost in your illustrations.
Of course.
That thought is really nice.
I still remember some of my favorite books, and remember the perfect detail, like the illustrations from the books you loved as a kid, so it's lovely, just enriching people's lives and giving them something that can last them a lifetime. That's amazing. It was really great to meet you. I'll be following the podcast. It's lovely to have a podcast about picture books. Is it all going to be about picture books?
Yeah, illustrating and writing picture books. I didn't know which one to choose, so I did
Brilliant.
Both.
it's perfect. Yeah. I'm so excited because I'm gonna be listening to it all the time.
Like, oh, thank you. I hope so.
Yeah, it's brilliant, and it was you're clearly like really passionate about it. And
yeah,
what's the name of the book that you have coming out?
It's called Grandma's Odd Socks.
Grandma's Odd Socks. Okay, I'm gonna make sure that I get a copy of it. Congratulations.
I'm sure you'll see it somewhere.
Yeah. No, I'm gonna make it my mission. Yeah, I'd love to see it. It's so nice to meet you. I really enjoyed talking.
Yeah.
That's it for today. I'll see you again in the next episode. You can always follow me on social media. You just need to search Bata Taylor Art and I'll be there. And a special thanks to G Beats for the sound and the music of this podcast. See you next time.